Hi, I'm Josh Curry.
And I'm Jeff Kervin.
And this is Maximum Geek. And we were out again last week. Every couple weeks, apparently, I have some reason why I can't do a show. Although this last week, I will definitely say that my 102-degree fever for 2 days
You know, if you
is a
can't
pass.
podcast just because of a little Ebola, then you're not really dedicated.
You're right. I'm not that dedicated. I
question...
am not that dedicated to our listener.
Sorry, listener.
No, I'm dedicated to our listeners, but this is why I didn't record, actually, because really, they didn't want to hear it. I talked to my cousin, I talked to Jody last Wednesday, and I don't remember it.
I've had fever conversations like that before. Those are fun.
I talked to him like, oh, was it Friday or Monday? Maybe it must have been Monday. And he was like, man, you were out of it. I'm like, I talked to you?
You see, that's the point, though. That could have been one of our epic episodes.
Not in a good way.
Could have been amazing.
Anyway, all right, let's talk about some topics.
I don't know about you, but I am much more entertaining when I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
That's why we're so popular, Jeff.
Ah, yes, that.
All right. So first up in the nobody really cares, but hey, it's interesting and it's a first. The first NFL 3D broadcast, Giants and Patriots, September 2nd, Verizon Fios. All three or four of you people who can watch it, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, and if you like freak out during the telecast because you think you're gonna fall into the cleft in Tom Brady's chin, remember it's just a TV.
Ooh, damn! You were working on that one, weren't you?
He dumped Bridget Moynihan for Gisele Bündchen. He's got a zillion dollars. He's rich, famous, and good looking.
You hate him,
and,
don't you?
And he was like a nobody that just appeared out of nowhere.
You hate him.
The guy is a karmic train wreck waiting to happen.
Is he a karma chameleon? Karma chameleon.
Just saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Say, just to balance out the cosmic scales, yeah, he's got to like become the old witch from Snow White at some point.
This is true. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, petitions, right. all right, so now we're going to talk about Apple. Now, I know we never talk about Apple on this show, and I am
and
never...
And we always agree about everything we say about Apple.
We completely... We never disagreed about Apple. We both hate them, love them, hate them, love them, whichever it is this week. I never loved them. But...
Not even in the 80s? Not even when it was like the Apple II, really? No love at all?
Commodore, hello!
Oh, yeah, that's right. You
Commodore
in
the hizzy. Take that, Apple II. No, it didn't sell nearly as many Commodore 60. It's nearly as many Apple IIs as they did Commodore 64s. Still the best-selling personal computer ever.
See, I started with a Commodore VIC-20, and then instead of upgrading to the 64, which had become all trendy, I got a TI-99/4A because I'm a rebel.
So you're an idiot. You didn't want to be able to actually do anything, right? Because back then...
Yeah, that too.
Back then, it wasn't cool to have a PC in any way, shape, or form. I had a trash 80, though, so... Which is now somewhere in the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, I believe, because it was being used as a boat anchor, last I knew, by my friend's father. That is not... I'm not making that shit up.
By the way, when I come out there to sabotage or be your best man in your wedding in October...
Yeah,
I still have a Sega Genesis that I believe belongs to you.
Really? I forgot I ever had one of those. I don't need it. I need to get rid of it,
so you're going to get back.
No. There's garbage. There's a garbage can. I know your parents have trash service. I have no use for a Sega Genesis. Although I do miss that X-Man game.
You can show it to your children as an example of... ancient technology.
Somewhere I have a freaking 3DO, dude. I've owned
That's crazy.
Literally
talk.
Almost every gaming system there ever was.
Nobody who had a 3DO back when that was a console had a 3DO.
Yeah. Does anybody know who knows what a 3DO is? Raise your hand.3DO was awesome.
My
And
hands right,
Road
but I don't think
Rash.
people can tell that in an audio medium.
Road Rash. Road Rash was awesome on the 3DO. Okay. Anyway, we'll talk about gaming later. Right now, Apple has released iOS 4.0.2, which, well, it fixes
Or,
the PDF
as we
hole
like to
that
call it,
Cloud
iOS,
jailbreak.
until Verizon, sues them.
I'm gonna kill you. Jailbreakme.com, we barely knew ye.
You know, I
And
have installed 4.0.2 on my iPhone 4 because even though it was jailbroken briefly, because the only reason I jailbroke it was because it was actually more secure jailbroken with the PDF Warner installed than it was unjailbroken. But now that they fixed that, all is fine in Cupertino. The problem I do have with them, though, is that in order to install this security patch, which might I add, it turns out they only found out about this exploit on iOS because it's already been fixed in Safari on macOS. They were looking at the release notes for the security patches on macOS and thought, Safari, I wonder if that code is shared with iOS, and it turns out it was. But in order to install the security patch, you have to reflash your entire GORAM operating system. It's like a 500 meg download.
what?
This is a problem.
Oh, well, I don't
This is
need
an
it.
issue, Apple.
I'll be safe.
Small wonder why you haven't figured out how to do those over-the-air OS updates if you have to do the entire monolith at once.
Dude, you could jailbreak it without restarting. I mean,
Yeah, jailbreaking didn't even make it reboot.
okay.
And fixing the exploit that allowed the jailbreak, you have to replace the entire operating system. There's something wrong there.
Well, let's stay with Apple security. Well, mobile security in general.
Mobile sec.
And thanks to our friends over at Engadget, who we often borrow information from in order to make our podcast interesting.
Yes.
We don't
We
just.
don't steal directly. We acquire.
Somebody puts all the information together. We might as well take a look at it.
But
But
Josh, Neli, thank you.
yeah, thanks guys. We really appreciate it. We wouldn't know anything if that not for you. That's not true. We read a lot of different. We read a lot of. We steal from a lot of different sources. Really, that's probably not a good thing to say. Anyway, BBC. Somebody over at the BBC. Created this app as a proof of concept, I guess, to show how insecure operating systems are. It's a basically it's a it was a little like tic-tac-toe game or something that as it ran could gather all your contact information, copy text messages, and log the phone's current location, and then shoot it off to an email address. And
And
horribly drain your battery.
our astute readers, or even the ones that haven't recently eaten beans, might notice that this is very, very similar to a recent frouhaha on Android, where a application that was basically just a background graphics browser, wallpaper browser. Also, had the ability to go into your contacts and do a bunch of nefarious things. And from what I understand, both of these applications were designed independently by different people to do largely the same thing and show that it was really easy to get nefarious code past the App Store or App Marketplace
Now,
gatekeepers.
this one didn't actually go onto the marketplace. They decided not to release it because they're the BBC. and all that. But out of the 1,500 lines of code, it was around 200 required for this. So in
and
any
since Apple
large
doesn't do a line-by-line code inspection, it probably would have got through.
Yeah, and this is a very small app, so 1,500 lines is nothing. If you're talking a 20,000-line app, 250 lines, no one's going to notice. This can easily, this will easily make it through. If so, there needs to be, I hate to be this security guy, but I've always said that we need to be watching the security on our phones. It's become even more, you know, Windows Mobile had, you know, there was some concern there, but there were barriers. One of the biggest thing that the iPhone gave us was it took down all the barriers to installing apps. It is so easy to get apps on there. And so, I mean, time and time again, we see little things slip through that you have to be stupid to fall for usually. You know, pay $1,000 for this app. What the hell? Who does that? You know, but we've seen little things like this. We've seen people's accounts get hacked. And we've seen just little things that say we need to be aware of our phone security and we need to protect ourselves. Just like we need to, no matter what operating system we use on our desktops, we need to be careful because they all have holes. And there is nothing to protect you on any of the mobile operating systems from this kind of thing because you have to have some trust. I don't install a lot of games that because they're just from Joe Blow and, well, frankly, they may not know how to write code. And just because Apple approved it doesn't mean, it's not going to do something horrible, like suck down my battery life. Which is the other thing this app did. It just trashed your battery life, which I already have enough problems with by legitimate games. Freaking Modern Conflict. I love you, but I hate you for your battery sucking abilities.
Yeah. Okay.
So, was that my security rant?
Yeah, and, well, I'll step away from the RTS and go outside and, like, stare up at the explosion or something.
You on drugs?
Sounds like you're on drugs. I am on drugs, but big fusion explosion up in the sky. Well, not like right this second.
I was going to say, it's dark outside. There's no sun.
We're recording at night. But see, the beauty of this being a podcast is we have no idea when the people listening to it.
It
could be daytime for them.
Yeah, but you told me to go outside and look at it. And I'd have to drive a long ass way.
I'm on a lot of cold medicine right now.
Then warm it up then.
So I think you're going to give me a break.
Warm up the medicine. It won't be cold then.
Yeah, and tip for you kids at home, don't mix different decongestants, because that will knock your ass out.
You got knocked the fuck out. Anyway, all right, so security, phones, tablet.
In our clean bag. Anyway.
What's wrong? Okay. Do you have anything to chime in on this whole security thing?
A lot of people say that, I say no and then I launch into a discussion. A lot of people say that that this means that Apple and Android are just going to have to be more hands-on about what they let into, you know, their various app stores. But that's not going to work. We know that that's impractical. We know that a line-by-line code inspection is just not going to happen.
Impossible. It's
just like, yeah. Just like YouTube is uploading, what was it, 24 hours a minute on average of video?
Yeah.
So they can't possibly, like, actually inspect everything that is uploaded to YouTube. You know, to make sure it's not
porn.
That dastardly content or copyright. Oh, they don't care about porn. It's a copyright infringement.
No,
better not be
true.
Famous porn.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, Apple and Google are in the same boat here. They can't possibly guarantee that everything in their app store is safe. And unfortunately, that's kind of the deal that Apple has already made with their users. They've already laid that expectation, which is unfortunate. But I don't know. I don't know how this is going to get fixed. This is going to be a thorny problem in mobile over the next couple years. Because I don't think anybody wants to further reduce, already resource-constrained mobile devices by running anti-malware and antivirus applications on them in the background all the time.
No, there's no way. There's not enough
Computers.
system resources. There's just no
Yeah.
way.
So, yeah, having the users basically constantly self-inoculate themselves isn't really a solution either. I don't know how this is going to get fixed. This is beyond my pay grade. I got nothing.
One answer is they can go in and they can take a page from Microsoft's book and user access controls. Certain things, software should alert you that it does. Maybe only the first time you run it. And this is annoying and this is not necessarily a solution. It's just, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, okay? This is just off the cuff, okay? So there could be holes and it may be a stupid idea, but if a software sends information, you should be able to know that. I mean, if it's going to email someone, there should be tools in the operating system for you to know that this software is sending data over the internet. So if you download tic-tac-toe and it's a single player tic-tac-toe and you go to load it up and it says, I want to send a bunch of information over the internet, first time you load it, you go, well, I don't need to play tic-tac-toe that bad. Or you can go, I don't care, and do it. I mean, that's obviously an inelegant and just, like I said, very off the cuff solution, but things like that are going to a certain level of control over what your apps can do beyond what we have now is the only way to start heading towards that.
And that's something I've seen a lot of Android users clamor for. I mean, they've clamored right out in public, with people watching them and everything, is that they would like more, finer granularity in Apple's or not Apple or in Google's. Do you want to install this app? It does these things. Because a lot of times you'll see you'll see an app that says, cause from what I understand, and you can certainly correct me here if I'm wrong, since your fiance has a Evo. From what I understand, when you install an app, it'll come up and say, this app needs these permissions, and it's just yes or no. And you either agree to all of them or none of them. And you don't always understand why, like a game needs access to your contact list. And
Why
if
does tic-tac-toe need to know who I call?
but and yeah and if the if the yeah if you could either disable that feature when you install the app, or if the developer could put in a little more information and say this is for leaderboard purposes with your friends, then you might think, oh, well, that makes sense then. That's okay.
Yeah,
But right
exactly.
now, it's all kind of nebulous, and it's an all or nothing kind of condition.
I think we need more of those options I mean, because frankly, there are going to be millions and millions of new apps coming on all the platforms, including,
Millions and
I mean,
millions.
including the upcoming Windows Phone 7, which we will discuss a tiny bit here later. But this is not one
Prepare
operating
for me to
system that needs
scoff.
to be.
Scoff, scoff.
This is not something that's, this is operating system agnostic. There are concerns and they need to be addressed at some point, especially with the boom in app creation and the
Boom, baby,
simplicity.
boom.
Watch out. Don't install apps. Don't take candy from strangers or apps.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Stranger danger.
moving along, more Apple news. Okay,
Oh,
I'm gonna
thanks.
just hit this real quick and go away.
Holy crap, breaking news. Well, it's probably been out. Yeah, I mean, it may not be like breaking right this second. It's the first time I've seen it
I'm
because I
breaking
just now
point.
went to Audible. But Neal Stephenson's entire Baroque cycle, unabridged, is available on Audible. All seven books, each one of which can like kill people.
Yeah, I have the first one. I keep looking at it. Well, unless you count Necronomicon, not Necronomicon, unless you count Cryptonomicon, I've already read that.
I'm working my way through the Stieg Larsson the girl who books right now.
Oh,
Since
I read the
everybody
first
will
one.
not shut up about them.
I just read the first one and loved it.
Fine, I'll read them.
Okay. Then I didn't know you were reading them. You need to tell me what you think when you're done with the first one.
Okay.
I figured out what was going on in the first one early on, but I liked it anyway. Well, I figured out some of the details.
Yeah,
Not
but
not not there were a
then
lot of
again,
surprises
you're
though.
also a genetic mutant who like self-spoils everything.
I do, but there's a lot of the reasoning behind how what was going on. I didn't figure out until the end of the book. I mean, there's a
Okay.
lot of stuff. There's a lot of intrigue in that book, and I know nothing, absolutely nothing about any of the
I know
geography in that
nothing.
book. That book is
Nothing.
so, I mean, I could have been reading about any, I mean, they're talking about places that I don't think really exist. I think it could be a fantasy novel for the locations and stuff they use in that book. But anyway, there's John Gruber has said that
Yeah,
the
John
iPhone
Gruber says a
4
lot of things.
CDMA iPhone 4 is in the engineering verification test stage, and we will see one in January on some network. No one's saying Verizon, but probably Verizon. But
Could
that
be Verizon.
maybe not.
Big.
Maybe. But there you go. Now you have it. I'm not talking about that anymore. But I am going to talk about. Oh.
Well, I do have
Yeah.
a minor comment about this.
I know.
The, this is not a surprise to anybody, really,
I'm
or it
surprised.
shouldn't be.
I'm shocked.
We knew for quite a while now that they were developing a CDMA iPhone for China. We knew that eventually AT&T was going to lose their exclusivity,
Which they were
and we
all protective about. We don't rely on just one phone. There was a whole big
yeah
like, hey, they're about to lose their exclusivity. Anyway, sorry.
and we know that now granted I still think an iPhone on Verizon, well, I don't know. For a long time, I thought an iPhone on Verizon wasn't going to happen until Verizon was done rolling out LTE, which is the 4G standard that AT&T is also using. So that way, Apple could just make one LTE iPhone that would work on both networks. Problem with that is that Verizon has come out recently and said their LTE rollout is not going to be done until 2012.
And even then, you need backwards compatibility, so you would still need CDMA. So.
So we knew that, and yeah, I mean, we've seen, Steve Jobs even bitched about this. We have seen people like, showing browser stats on the internet, showing that somebody in Cupertino is browsing with a CDMA, iOS device. Like, well, yeah, they're testing it, duh. That this was going to happen eventually should be a surprise to nobody.
I'm
Well,
surprised.
except for Mr. in somewhere in deepest, darkest Africa. Is that bad? Is
Dude,
that out of line?
that was out of line.
That
Dude,
was
I've insulted everyone ever. I'm like the least politically correct person. I once insulted the head of the Star Wars fan club because I didn't realize it was him, and he was a person of diminished stature. and I was
Well, I don't
a
think
little.
it was diminished. I don't think he had ever been tall.
Oh.
I think he was always just a really tiny person.
I made a comment that should never have been made, and I didn't know
Yeah.
was
My
my fault.
apologies to anyone or
Who
and
speaks
everyone
like
who
that?
was offended. Because really, but
I'm
it,
offended.
frankly, if you're easily offended, what are you doing listening to this podcast
This
in the
is the
first place?
wrong podcast for you. What were we talking
But yeah,
about?
the CDMA iPhone should not be a surprise to anybody.
I'm shocked.
And yet the version that they're testing now is like one testing stage more primitive than the testing stage that Gray Powell lost the iPhone 4 in the bar.
Barphone 4.
So it's coming. We know it's coming. I still think January is incredibly optimistic. But we'll see. Yep, I mean, there's a lot of things about, there's still a lot of, I know they're testing it. I know they're taking it seriously because, and if you read that Wired piece a few weeks back, you know that Steve Jobs has been incredibly frustrated with AT&T himself many times during this relationship and has wanted to shit can them anyway. But there's still some things about CDMA that I'm just not sure are gonna work right on the iPhone. Like, oh, I don't know, the fact that
Data
on
talks
Verizon
sometimes.
and Sprint's network, you can't talk and use data at the same time.
I never do that. I never do that.
I do that constantly on my iPhone.
Yeah, but you're a freak.
Whenever I'm talking to somebody on my iPhone, I'm off doing other stuff too.
Yep, I mean.
And I've gotten so used to it now. Granted, I don't make a lot of voice calls to begin with, but I've gotten so used to that feature now that it would really annoy me if I had to go back to Sprint and use my Trio, 800 whatever the hell that was, and had to deal with that. That would suck.
Yeah. It is definitely a consideration for me even, but I don't do it enough to worry. And with the device we're talking about later, I don't care where it is. I will buy it, and it's from a company I never buy things from. Oh my God. I will probably buy this device. We'll talk about it momentarily, but you're right. For the most part, there are some things you give away, you give up with CDMA, but the service is so much better, and most people aren't gonna notice that difference, unless they want to call someone and watch Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus rocks. But
I have to say the Hulu Plus is, to me, it's worth it. It is worth the $10. Not so much for the watching on my iPhone, which I do, but not as much as I thought I would, but for the back catalog it opens up.
yeah, there is definitely if when it's available on the Xbox, I will probably subscribe endlessly. Now, not so much.
Yeah, I'm once I get done working my way through the entire series run of Angel, I'm gonna actually watch the entire series run of The Office, which I've never seen.
Awesome.
I've seen like three episodes of The Office,
I need to watch
so
Arrested Development. That's on my list. But
yeah, that too. That's also highly recommended.
speaking of TV, Apple iTV. That's right. It's the iTV now, which is what it
And
originally
well,
was. It's the
and
iTV again.
th yeah, it's ITV again, but it's ITV on iOS.
With apps and no 1080i or P for some
Yeah,
reason.
but really, high def is a fad. It's gonna
Okay.
go away. It's like broadband,
Yeah.
it
You and your
really
fads. It's not a.
dial up is all you need.
Yeah. Okay. So an unusual choice. The rumor, which I don't buy because iPhones can stream full HD, or can play back full HD, is that it can't handle full HD playback. The A4 is apparently Muppet flailing, because that's what I'm doing for no reason. Okay, so basically, this is Apple's entry into the home entertainment world, which right now is pwned by Microsoft and Sony, and sort of Wii, but it really, Wii is far more just a gaming device than the other two. And the apps will be interesting. There's rumors and discussion about whether it'll be, I see more fragmentation in the App Store, because frankly, I don't see playing Angry Birds on my Apple TV, even with the Magic Pad, Maxi Pad, whatever it's called.
You just had to go there.
I did.
They're
similar words. I just don't see, you know, because on this little screenshot, it's got Angry Birds on the picture, and I'm like, I don't. Angry Birds is a. I like. It's great if you can touch the screen, but far less. It's just like a tablet. For years, I've used PC tablets, not tablet PCs, but tablets for my PC. But the not being able to see the screen, and it is a big step down.
You mean like Apple's new Magic Trackpad, which is like
a big step down from actually.
Well, it's yeah. I look at the Magic Trackpad, and admittedly, it's very nice. But I just keep thinking, you know, for $70, why don't I just pay the extra $30 and get the bamboo touch and pen combo?
Yeah,
that you can buy at the frickin' Apple Store.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, it's not those are nice devices, but I don't see iOS is a touch interface. iOS's strength is touch. So I mean, the streaming of iTunes will be what sells this device, okay? The iTunes ecosystem will be what sells this device. It is not going to overtake Xboxes and PlayStations and other home entertainment devices because it just doesn't offer enough. And honestly, I still think Apple is stupid because they aren't working out licensing deals with Sony and Microsoft to rake in money for people to be able to buy iTunes stuff or stream iTunes stuff on their Xboxes and PlayStations. If I could stream iTunes on my Xbox, I would be far more likely to look at that ecosystem more. But with my Xbox, I can buy content that I can watch anywhere if I ever, assuming I got a Windows Phone device. But there, Apple's working towards their own ecosystem, but it's a very closed ecosystem. And this device in and of itself, just adding apps to it, it's not the strengths of the OS. It doesn't have the real touch interface or any of that. But like I said, I think what'll sell these is the ability to stream iTunes. Thoughts?
I don't know. I'm going to have to see how they actually execute it. In theory, I like the idea of an iOS-based web TV, but you do have a point about whether or not iOS is really going to be controllable with a abstracted touched interface rather than touched directly on screen. We'll have to see.
I'm sure you'll be able to use your iPhone as a control. And that'll be happy. But again, I'm looking at the screen and touching something I'm not looking at. That's, you know, this has been one of the problems with touch interfaces and why tablets didn't become, you know, Wacom's been around forever and they're very successful, but there's no competition because no one else can compete in such a small market. The concept is great, but as soon as you can look at it, that's why tablet PCs have always been an interesting idea. They just fall short execution-wise. Tablets are great because you're touching what you're directly interacting, not abstracted, like Jeff said. So we'll have to see what they do. Let's face it, Apple TV has always been a big letdown. And changing it to ITV isn't really changing your brand name enough, guys. They're gonna have to really do something impressive, and until I see it and I see that impressive thing, I'm kind of still dismissive of Apple TV or Apple ITV as it is now called, because adding an I made it better. So,
Yeah, we'll have to
too
see.
many unknowns, really, in the end. But while we're talking about iOS devices and gaming, which are two things we were just talking about, let's talk about mobile gaming. Because
Yay, mobile gaming.
on an Engadget exclusive, so we're just going to steal that from them. Sony Ericsson is, according to Engadget, according to some source they trust, and when Engadget isn't just making the shizzle up, when they're not like reporting someone else's stuff, they tend to be pretty accurate. When they have a source, they tend to be pretty accurate. Sony Ericsson is working on an Android 3.0 gaming platform that is basically the next generation PSP. For those of you who know what the PSP Go looks like, it's basically a screen with a slide down controller. This is an Android 3.0 phone that looks like that with Sony's own interface skin. The rumor is that there will be a special portion of the market that is specifically for these games. Basically, we're looking at a gaming phone. We're looking at the next generation Tapwave. Because Tapwave, Zodiac,
Tapwave.
was an awesome device and actually sold fairly well for what it was, for a boutique device, which is really what it was. This was back in the day of smartphones weren't smart. Trios were around, but Jeff and I both own Tapwaves and love them. They were built for gaming PDAs.
Yeah.
They just and they had some support. They were very they had a lot of potential that they just couldn't live up to because the market was changing so much. And Palm, in the end, just let everyone down repeatedly for years, which is why they're now owned by HP and everyone's getting fired or quitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, about that. Right. So this is a really interesting device, in my opinion. And so we've got that. But we also have a lot going on in the mobile gaming space. Not that long ago, Nintendo was discussing who their biggest threats are, who they really worry about in the mobile gaming space. And Apple is really the only competition they have because, frankly, Sony screwed the pooch. All right? Sony, the PlayStation Portable is hanging on because Sony's just like, here, our games are cheap. Here, we love us. We need to feel loved.
Poor Sony.
Yeah. But this revitalizes that and gives them competition. The iPhone is great for very casual gaming, but it is not going to rule the mobile gaming market because Nintendo still crushes Apple in the mobile gaming market as a game device. And okay, this is a really high potential thing because if you can start getting more phones out there, if you start getting other gaming phones, and this may get me to buy a Sony device. Android 3.0, built for gaming. A whole dedicated store. They've got things like Gods of War that they're supposedly working on for it, and all the really classic PSP stuff, this is there's a lot of potential here, okay? But this is this market, the mobile gaming market, is about to explode. Apple, boom! Apple is not just really resting on their laurels because Apple has not done anything personally in the mobile gaming space other than create the hardware. It's all the other companies. But there is a huge explosion coming, and we've got, okay, years ago, a little company called Microsoft announced they were building a game system. And people said, Microsoft, you don't know anything about consoles. You can't compete. A
Microsoft.
couple of years before that, there was this other little company that was coming into the Nintendo Sega world, and they were then no one thought Sony. What? Game system? What? Okay, so these two companies are never down and out when it comes to games. They really do get gaming. And while Sony has really failed in the mobile arena, they haven't had anything to differentiate themselves. Now, touch interface and all that has been something that Nintendo's been doing to differentiate themselves for years. Dual screen interface. They've been doing things to make themselves not just another gaming system. And mobile phones in the way gaming systems can advance and take advantage of the social aspect of things, which is what Sony still struggles with, but Microsoft gets. And we definitely see with Kinect that Microsoft really gets a lot more than anyone gives them credit for in the gaming realm. Okay, there's a war coming. Okay,
Dun dun
Nintendo
dun.
wins because what Nintendo's got coming out is the 3DS, 3D Game Boy. Just no glasses needed. Okay, so I don't think anybody's unseating Nintendo. Nintendo is got all the brand recognition. They do backwards compatibility almost every time. Really, there's no competition here, all right, yet. But there is a very profitable second place out there for these other companies. And Microsoft is not just sitting by idly. Microsoft came out with the Microsoft Game Studios, which basically isn't really, this was, in relation to the Xbox. Wasn't necessarily about Microsoft making games, but about Microsoft enabling Xbox Arcade, enabling third-party developers to make downloadable content for the Xbox. I don't know if people realize how much great downloadable content there is on the Xbox, how much stuff I buy without ever putting a disc in there. There's a reason 250 gig hard drives are coming in the new Xboxes. You can fill them up with games before you even start talking about movies. And you can buy movies too, by the way, which I do. TV shows more often than not. I mean, Lost, I bought season 5 of Lost all on my Xbox. It's sitting on my Xbox right now. I can also watch it on my PC if I want to. It's cool, I gotta say. But so they've got their Microsoft Gaming Studio Mobile, which is first party and designed to help third party people publish and Microsoft gets this social aspect. They get this software delivery to your device, this integration. Big if they can pull this off, if they can really bring what's been successful for them in the Xbox realm to a portable device. I mean, just like the, portable PlayStation was a big rumor for a long time. For a long time, there's been a rumor of a portable Xbox. And I think Microsoft knows that that's stupid. A dedicated device is not the only company I think that can survive with a dedicated mobile gaming device is Nintendo. Sony has one, but really, who cares? Oh, nobody. That's the problem.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Right?
Nobody knows. The troubles I seen. Nobody.
Anyhoozle.
Ain't got nobody. Nobody. No?
Nothing.
Well, it was worth a try. So there's this war coming with, and really for me right now,
Dun
I
dun
love
dun.
Android as a platform. Okay, we're not really going to talk about Windows Phone 7 because until we see it, until we know more,
Scoff.
Jeff
Scoff,
is
scoff.
just completely against it, and I'm on the fence. I'm going to have to see what they
Scoff.
do. Yes, scoff. I'm going to kick you in the teeth. Jeff does not think much of Windows Phone 7's look, feel, or anything. He is very much against it. I have a
Just
different
thinking,
opinion.
Microsoft might not want to present people with a big flat blue screen.
It's not
Throwing
like
that out
that.
there.
Okay. We have a big disagreement, and that's a whole episode, okay? Jeff and I disagreeing about the design aesthetics of the Metro interface is a whole episode, okay? But neither of us have used it, so we're both just blowing smoke the whole time anyway. So I may use it and go, "This sucks." Jeff may use it and go, "Wow, this is fucking awesome. What was I thinking?" Because neither of us have ever changed our minds. We both own iPhones. Anyway, I didn't pay for mine.
Didn't pay for mine.
was I talking about? Anyway, mobile gaming. I mean, there's only an artist rendering of the PSP thing, but I'm thinking if they can make this a platform for gaming, that's awesome. And if Microsoft can bring in that social aspect and tie it into Xbox Live, that'll be the thing that sways me to my next
That'll be the thing.
the gaming quality, whether, Sony is the way to go or Microsoft is the way to go. Apple's not gonna Apple's I don't think Apple's gonna get too much into it. I think Apple's gonna let the game designers have their say, and the game designers are already starting to look at these other devices now that there's a bigger market for them. And Microsoft's been handing boatloads of money to people because they're not idiots. They know they need apps, and they can, and they're doing things like guaranteeing people, X amount of sales, or we'll pay you. We'll pay you to develop. They're smart in doing that. So they're bringing developers. Android's getting more and more game developers. With a device like this, Sony, who has who has great ties with game developers, could bring that.
Bring it.
We've really got an interesting gaming thing. I mean, Apple kind of threw some bones to gamers with whatever this thing is that was supposed to be an iOS 4 that I haven't heard anybody talk about. Wasn't there supposed to be some gaming thing in iOS 4?
Know.
There's some yeah.
Well, there is, but only if you're like special and stuff.
Only if you
You
use
know,
it and no one uses
yeah,
it.
Game Center has been taken out of the iOS betas for the 3G and the second generation iPod Touch, so now it's just the 3GS and the iPhone 4 and the more recent iPod Touches. And I gotta think it's still very much an experimental thing as far as Apple is concerned. I mean, in the last beta that I saw, just the opening page for Game Center used four different fonts.
Well, they're clearly Apple
That's not an Apple thing.
doesn't get gaming, okay? Just so you know, Apple never really
They're
had.
still playing with this.
And people keep going, well, Halo, Bungie was an Apple developer. Okay, two misconceptions about Halo. First of all, it never was an Apple-only game. Okay, Microsoft, they were already developing for the Windows platform. Because at the time, and I'm not getting into the whole debate, but at the time, Microsoft was definitely the place to be developing a game if you wanted to have sales. It was originally a PC product, not a Xbox product, which it became. But, you know, Mac has never, Apple's never really understood gaming. And like I said, their success on the iPhone is not their doing. The gaming success on the iPhone is the developer's job. And the developers are completely responsible for it, and Apple, not so much. So, the Game Center thing, which they talked up, and trust me, when it really hits on Windows Phone 7, it'll either be the worst thing ever, or it will be what Xbox Live is for consoles, because it is far and away the best. It's why the Xbox is successful. People pay $50 a year for it. On top of it, on top of buying the console, there's a reason for it. It's worth every penny. Xbox Live keeps you connected, and it really understands the social aspect of gaming.
It also makes great fries.
Yeah. And then, of course, like I said, Microsoft Game Studio. So these big names are now throwing Sony and Google and Microsoft are now getting into the mobile game. Let's face it, they really are competing for second place because Nintendo just keeps kicking ass. I mean, I don't personally own a DS. My daughter does, which is weird. And I was very close to buying a PSP at one point for the movies. They don't do that anymore, just so you know. Sony was like, oh, movies. Yeah, that was a bad idea, that whole UMD thing.
Yeah. Every time Sony tries to push their own format, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, but they still do it, and they still think it's a smart move. Okay, I've been sitting here trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because my mouse freaked out, and now I can't get my trackpad to work, and I just realized my mouse is out of batteries, and Alienware has a really nifty feature where they just automatically turn off your trackpad, but sometimes it doesn't want to turn back on.
Huh.
And right now, it won't turn back on.
That's unfortunate.
Yes, this is why I'm getting out some rechargeable batteries while I talk. So, anyway. Jeff, you got anything to say about mobile gaming? You know, since I kind of dominated that little segment of the show.
Well, yeah, I keep intending to do more mobile gaming than I do. I mean, I've got probably a couple dozen games installed on my iPhone 4, and the only one I play with any regularity at all is Bejeweled, and that's only because that gives me, you know, something mindless to do while I'm listening to podcasts.
Something mindless?
Because otherwise, what am I going to do? Pay attention to where I'm driving?
Jeff? Yes. Yes, you should pay attention to where you're
driving. Yeah, I don't know. I like the fact that Nintendo is taking Apple seriously.
Yeah.
They say that Apple is their biggest threat in the coming decade.
Okay.
But...
uh-huh.
Yeah, Nintendo is still the 800-pound gorilla in mobile gaming, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Well...
the fact that they're taking Apple seriously means that they're well-positioned to maintain their lead. They're not going to get complacent.
And just so people know, Sony is far and away not the most powerful or best competitor Nintendo has had in the mobile gaming space. There were three companies that came before that had a shot. One of them was Sega. With the Game Gear. Another was the Turbo Express, you know, the portable version of the TurboGrafx. Which really, really, really could have taken off if it weren't for horrible, import laws for stuff coming from Japan that made it cost all the money. And then there was the Atari Lynx. The one of those to get the most traction by a lot was the Atari Lynx. I have owned or played every one of these devices. I have been, okay. My dad sent me a Game Boy within a couple weeks of it being released. Okay. I had a Game Boy very early on. And so I have been part of the mobile gaming thang for a very long time. It has been something I've followed all along too. I've owned every version of the Game Boy and no DSs yet, but I have I got too old for the DS, and now I'm like, I can see where that would be interesting. I even own a Game Boy Micro. But Nintendo is no stranger to strong competition. So the fact that they see these guys as competition tells me that they'll be fine. They also know Nintendo's also not a stranger to failure. I refer you to the Virtual Boy, or as I like to call it, the Hell Simulator. Red and black? Really? All your games in red and black? No! Nobody wants that.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that.
It was nifty because you could play Mario Tennis in hell. For those who don't know, it was a virtual reality headset. Where it was all red and black because the technology had to be monochrome. It was not a color technology at all. And they chose red and black. And you wore the hat, wore the glasses as the display, and you had a controller in your hands.
Because back then, looking like a dork wasn't really a problem for gamers.
No, because if you knew what a game was, you were a dork. But
Yeah.
yeah, Nintendo, you've kind of hit the nail on the head. Nintendo sees this threat coming. It ain't happening
Yeah,
anytime soon.
they're the reason, well, everybody in the smartphone industry got blindsided by Apple is that nobody took the iPhone seriously at first. Nintendo is not going to make that mistake against the iPod Touch and the iPad in gaming.
Nintendo is far smarter than all that, and yeah. So we'll see what happens and who shakes out to be number two. Honestly, because of the resources Microsoft, Sony, and Google are putting into it, my bet is on one of them leading the pack. Right now, it really all depends on what we see for hardware. We just don't have enough information for me to do any more prognosticating than saying that.
Is it just me, or does the word prognosticating sound like it should involve a nose?
As far as I'm concerned, it's just you, and I don't want to talk to you anymore because.
Mobile gaming is definitely the next big thing in gaming. And Apple and Nintendo are probably going to be the two biggest players. Sony can no longer execute. I don't know what the fix is going to be for them, but they have lost all of their mojo from the old days, the heydays of Sony with the Walkman and the, their Howard Stringer couldn't fix them. I don't know what they're going to do. But Sony's a joke now. Yeah, I don't even take the PS3 seriously. The only reason the PS3 sells anywhere near the numbers that it sells, the whole reason why it's not just completely marginalized by the Xbox 360 and the Wii is because for a long time it was the cheapest Blu-ray player you could buy, and Blu-ray won out in the HD optical format wars.
Yeah.
Now that HD streaming is becoming a bigger deal, Blu-ray is not going to last as a format anywhere near as long as DVD or VHS lasted. And once it goes away, most of the reason for getting a PS3 goes away.
Well, Sony, they've struggled, but they've got more bite than just that. For the next 6 months or so, they've got Hulu Plus exclusivity. Of course,
yeah. There's, I bet they paid through the nose for that.
Yeah, they did, and then Microsoft gets it, and again, Microsoft, just the console interface and just the experience is far better. And now that you get wireless in the console, which was the biggest, the pricing is back on par where it wasn't for a while. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see. We'll see what happens. I'm not holding my breath. But I do think that there is definitely something coming. There will be competition. We'll see what that shakes out to be, and who wins. But I really think that if Apple is the dominant, second tier, it will be not their own fault. It will not be by Apple's doing. It will be because of the game developers. Because honestly, I don't think Apple themselves really understands gaming. I don't think they have ever really gotten it. And any dominance that's gotten there is kind of a fluke.
I'm not sure I would say they never really got it, but they probably haven't had a really solid handle on gaming since Woz was with the company.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something they're taking seriously, but like I said, they're kind of flailing about randomly with Game Center right now. So I like the fact that Game Center even exists. It shows that they intend to do something with it. But yeah, they're going to need to hire some smart gaming people.
Yeah,
and they're going to need to do that relatively quickly.
If they do that, if they get someone who understands it in house, and they're smart about it, they really have a chance to dominate. If they can, but we'll see. But it's going to take more than just Game Center, because right now Game Center is a pale reflection of what we will most likely see on Windows Phone 7. And if they can't match that feature, that's not going to win anything for Microsoft, but it is going to damage, what it can do is damage the gaming image of Apple.
And I think it's interesting that this is where a lot of the, this is where a lot of the next battle in smartphones is going to be. I mean, one of the things that actually has people excited about Windows Phone 7, because God knows it's not the Metro interface, is the Xbox integration. And, gaming and smartphones are becoming further intertwined.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, actually, if Nintendo is going to be forced at some point to enter the phone game or partner with a company like Sony.
That is interesting. One thing, and here's the one thing Nintendo doesn't get, and the reason that the Wii does not have the dominance that it could, because it has dominance numbers-wise, mindshare-wise, it's really losing it. Kinect is really going to hurt it in the console space. Nintendo doesn't get online gaming. They don't get the connected user. They are far and away, they are the last. They are dead last in gamer connections. Now, their software store, their app store in-game on the console is actually quite good. And you can go buy like all the classic Nintendo games. It's really pretty awesome. They don't get that whole multiplayer thing. It's a pain to go play against one of your friends in a Nintendo game. Now, on an Xbox game, it's so freaking easy. Xbox, Microsoft just makes it. It's clearly one of the reasons they designed the console. They clearly designed this console for multiplayer. I was, okay, this will make me feel really old. Long, long ago, when Xbox Live was first coming,
Back in the day.
because the Xbox didn't launch with Xbox Live, I was a beta tester for Xbox Live. For the actual service, there was online gaming and all that in the early days of the Xbox, but the Xbox Live service didn't launch until later. I was one of the beta testers playing lots of Madden because you got a version, a multiplayer-only version of the game for free while you were beta testing, which was awesome. And I did a lot of that. And I saw immediately what Microsoft saw. They were visionary in that understanding of connected gaming. They tried to be visionary about cross-platform gaming. That got killed for any number of reasons. PC gaming is really, first of all, the one of the rumors is that PC keyboard and mouse players were kicking console controller players' asses so badly.
Which I find hilarious.
But the reality is, who knows what it was really about? I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah.
But Microsoft has really gotten that. Sony starts to get it. Nintendo still doesn't. So Nintendo has their blind spots. A connected DS. Even if they don't necessarily have to do a phone. Even just a Kindle style, well, Kindle style wouldn't work obviously because they're using so much bandwidth they'd never get WhisperNet style pricing. But a 3G enabled, 4G enabled Nintendo device with a subscription fee or whatever, an iPad style subscription fee or something, that becomes a contender even against phones because I don't necessarily want my phone to. I don't necessarily want one device that does everything. I kind of like having my phone separate. So if I play my games all day and kill my battery, I still have a phone. It's one of my problems
Yeah,
right now.
I hear a lot of people say that, but when I say phone, I also mean
Connected
like the
device.
iPad with it. Yeah, the iPad with its 3G
You mean
radio.
connected device. And
Yeah.
that's really, I agree. If they partnered with someone, I mean, imagine what they could do. I mean, there's no one who knows mobile gaming better than Nintendo. Just no one gets it. But Nintendo has some big blind spots. And
It's going to be interesting to watch, for
I'm kind
sure.
of excited to see what happens here, because like I said, I've always been an avid mobile gamer.
How did you get a video processing program to run on a mobile gaming platform in the first place?
Oh God, I can't believe you just said that. No, I can't. Never mind, I can believe it.
Question is, how many of our listeners got that one?
Two. Which is good because we only have three listeners, so it's a high
Oh, see,
percentage.
percentage-wise, that's not
Yeah,
bad.
I'm impressed. And
All
only
right.
marginally sarcastic. We were gonna talk about something else, but really, we talked too much.
Yeah, we do that.
So.
Remember back when we thought we could like, hold Maximum Geeks to just like half an hour? Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Dude, I don't know. We're at like 3 hours now or something. We've actually been trying to record for like 2.5 hours. We won't discuss the aborted Max Geek that happened tonight. You know, if people knew how often we aborted a show for one reason or another and it never saw the light of day, there's only one of those that is hidden out there for people to listen to. The lost episode.
There is a lost episode of Maximum Geek on them their interwebs if you're tech savvy enough to know how to find it.
Yeah. We didn't hide it too well. I mean,
No, it's really not hidden very well, but you do have to be a geek to see it.
And it is from the very early days. It is from our first year, within our first 20 episodes of recording Maximum Geek. Yeah. It's old school. The lost episode of Maximum Geek with Will, my
Sure.
childhood friend who was in town visiting me. We recorded one with him, and it was our first one of our, well, maybe not our first. Bethany may have been a guest earlier. But it was one of our first guest host experiments, and it went very wrong. In some ways, not as wrong
Possibly
as the
because,
five host
well,
Maximum Geek went.
yeah, but I'm thinking it. I'm thinking the episode with Will probably would have gone better if he wasn't imaginary.
I can do two voices. Mr. the humble
Oh,
servant.
and now we've lost all of our
All right.
listeners.
Hey, you know what? We're done talking. If you want to catch us later, catch us later. We're gonna record again sometime. And someday we will have a comic cast.
Yeah, we thought about doing one tonight. Since the cat is away, so to speak. But we couldn't really come up with good enough
Yeah, we
topics.
didn't. I didn't.
So,
I hadn't done enough prep work to do that show. Takes more prep work than the Maximum Geek show, because
Something that has actual information
we're
in
not
it,
just
it
being
turns out
blowhards.
we can't just wing
We're not
that.
just being blowhards in the comic cast. So we decided that this was a better way to be blowhards. All right, we'll catch you later.
Later.